Well, it will be helpful if you have your Bibles open to that passage that we just read. Now, I wonder, boys, girls, mums, dads, adults, all of you, what your favourite part of Christmas is. What is your favourite? Opening the presents. Yeah, I thought that would be the first one. Pardon? Me too. Yeah, you love presents. Anyone like anything other than presents? Food. Yeah, we love food. Spending time with family, that's sweet, that's good. Yeah, anything else? There are plenty of reasons why people love Christmas. We love the food, we love time off work or school. Perhaps you love putting up the decorations, listening to Christmas music, avoiding listening to Mariah Carey. All of these different reasons why we love Christmas. We have family traditions and things that we love to do. There are so many things that we enjoy and are fond of. But, as you can see on the screen, the question I want to ask is, why is Christmas ultimately important? There we go. Sam's over. It's done. He's answered the question. Yes. Christmas is important because, not because of our family and friends, not because of music or decorations, not even because of presents. It is because of the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, you probably already know the story of Christmas. The stable, the star, the shepherds, and the angels. We are familiar with the story, but that can mean that we can miss the point of Christmas. We can end up with a Christmas that's cosy and sentimental and is about us. It's just a story, a nice story for children. It's a reason to be kind and to give presents to one another. So that's all Christmas is ultimately about. It's all about us. But as we read God's word, we find that the story of Christmas is not written that way. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the main reason for Christmas. He is the only reason for Christmas. He is the front and center of the Christmas story. In Matthew chapter 2, we see that as we read. We meet these wise men from the east, people not of Jewish descent, but Gentiles, who have followed a star for hundreds of miles because it is the sign that the King of the Jews has been born. And they come to him, as has already been said, not to a palace, but to an ordinary house in a backwater town called Bethlehem. They find the child with Mary and his mother, and in verses 10 and 11 there, they do something amazing. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They fell down and worshipped him. Why? Why did they do that? Did they see something that we might miss? Well, I want us to see from their actions, and especially from those three gifts we get at the end of the verse, we see the reason why Jesus is the most important part of Christmas and why we must worship him like the wise men did. So the first thing I want us to see is, why is Christmas important? Because Jesus is the King. Jesus is the King. Each one of these gifts, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, tell us something about Jesus' purpose for coming to earth. And the first gift is gold. Jesus is the King. At that time, gold was not something that was readily available to the common man. It was not something that you could go to the shops and buy, like you may be able to today. Gold was for royalty and royalty alone. And these wise men, they see who Jesus is and they give him gold, acknowledging that he is a king. They realize the real king of the Jews was not Herod in Jerusalem. He was in Bethlehem. Through the stars guiding, they have come to Jesus. And they see past the outward appearance of a baby in his mother's arms, and they see a deeper reality, the promised King of Israel, the King of the Jews, the Messiah, the Saviour of the world, has come. Herod, when he heard this news, was troubled by this news of a rival king. The religious leaders confirmed where the King of the Jews was to be born, but they didn't care enough to come and see where he was. But these wise men, not even Jews outside of the nation of Israel, they travelled to bow down to Jesus. They realised what the Jews had missed. God's King was here. God's King is here. and they do the only thing that is fitting. They worship and honour him. This changes everything about Christmas for us too. Jesus is not just a nice moral teacher for you to listen to. Christmas marks the arrival of the ruler of the universe on earth. His kingdom is not of this world, but is for this world. And he has come to rule with justice, righteousness, and peace. So, what does this mean for you? If Jesus is king of the world, he reigns over you today. Jesus is king of the world, he has a claim over you today. Your allegiance, your obedience ultimately belongs to the king of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question Christmas asks us is this: will you, like these wise men, bow the knee to King Jesus? Will you worship the king of the world as he deserves? Or will you, like King Herod, resist him, hate the fact that someone other than you is in control of your life, resenting the fact that you ultimately are not the ruler of your own life? Or, like the religious leaders perhaps, you'll stay indifferent. You'll go out from this place today and you'll go out into the new year, ignoring the reality of who Jesus is. You will bury your head in the sand and pretend Jesus isn't really here. Maybe we love the carols and the sentiment of Christmas, but we resist the idea that this baby is king over your life and mine. We like the comforting ideas of Christmas, but this Jesus, this baby born in a manger, now in his mother's arms, is king? What nonsense, we say. But the Bible says this is true. God's king comes as a weak baby to then rule the world. The king has come. The first question you must answer is, will you worship him? But Jesus is not only a king. The second thing I want us to see is that Jesus is a priest. Christmas is important because Jesus is a priest. The second gift is frankincense. Now, I'm sure not many of you use that word day by day. You probably only use it at Christmas. What is frankincense? Frankincense is another word for incense. And incense was something that was used by the priests in temple worship. It was sprinkled on the incense altar, lit on fire, and symbolised the prayers of the priest going up to God. Incense was a gift that you give to a priest, but also a gift you ultimately gave to God. And this gift, again, shows why Jesus came and who Jesus is. What do priests do? Of course, we don't come across priests too much day to day. Priests are those who stand between God and man, offering sacrifices and prayers to God. That was what the priests did in the Old Testament and what they did in the temple. The priests ultimately were those who allowed the people to have a relationship with God. And these wise men, they see that Jesus is more than just a king. They see that he is the last priest that the world will ever need. He is a spiritual mediator and the ultimate spiritual mediator, the go-between between God and mankind. He is the one who will reconcile God and humanity. He will represent his people before a holy God. But perhaps you ask, why do I need a priest? Why do I need a priest? Because as we read God's word, we find that God is holy and perfect and pure. And if we're honest with ourselves, we know that we aren't those things. We aren't holy, we aren't perfect, we aren't pure. We tell lies, we think bad thoughts, we say rude things. All of us have done wrong, and the Bible calls that sin. And to come before God, we need to be sinless and perfect. We must realise all of us are rebels, our souls must be washed clean. And we need someone who is clean to act on our behalf. But even the Old Testament priests and those who were serving in the temple were sinful men themselves. They couldn't pay for their sin or anyone else's sin. But Jesus came to earth, not just as king to rule over the world, but as a priest to allow us to have a relationship with God. The frankincense points to him being a priest. So what does this mean for you? If Jesus is the great priest, the high priest, we find that he is the one who can bring you to God, the only one who can bring you to God. He makes it possible for you to come to God, the only way for you to approach God. We can't come before God by ourselves because we are not perfect. We can't come with our good works because those good works are marked with the grubby hands of sin that are our own. Religious ritual can't get you to God. Going to other people to ask for them to pray for you can't get you to God. You can only go to God through God the Son, Jesus Christ. But through Jesus Christ, you can have direct access to God the Father because of Jesus, because of his priestly work. You do not need anyone else to go through to go to God. The wise men worship Jesus because he is the only priest who can bring us near to God. Perhaps as you come here today, you come trying to reach God on your own terms. Christmas says, stop. The priest has come. The great priest has come. He has opened the way for you to go to God through faith in him. But even more gloriously, there is a third gift. And there is a third reason Christmas is important. Christmas is important because Jesus is the Saviour. Jesus is important because he is the Saviour. Jesus is more than just a king and more than just a priest. And this is the best news you'll hear today or any day. Because you need more than someone just to rule over the world. You need more than someone just to be a go-between between you and God. You need a way for your sins to be forgiven. The third reason Jesus is important, he is the Saviour. The priests in the temple offered sacrifices to make atonement for sin, to pay for sin. But they had to offer sacrifices day after day after day. If we're honest with ourselves, we know we sin every day. People back then were no different. They sinned every day. And so sacrifice had to be offered every single day. Paying for sin was never over. But Jesus is different from these priests. He came to God. He came as God on earth. He was the God-man, Jesus Christ. He was perfect. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. He's pure and he's holy, the greatest priest. And the greatest priest would offer the greatest sacrifice. We find elsewhere in the Bible, Jesus is the great high priest who entered once for all into the holy places, not by the blood of goats and calves, which had to be sacrificed day after day, but by his own blood, securing an eternal redemption. And this is what we see in this third gift, the myrrh. Now again, you probably don't know what myrrh is. You only use it at Christmas. But what is myrrh? It is a spice and it was used for embalming the dead. It was not a gift you gave to a baby. It was a gift you gave to grieving relatives so that they could embalm their loved one. So why do these wise men give the myrrh to this child Jesus? It points to the ultimate reason why the king and priest came. Ultimately, Jesus came to reconcile you to God by paying the price for the sin of all who believe in him. Jesus is the king who came to reign. He is the high priest. He came to give us relationship with God, but he is ultimately the saviour who comes to rescue his people. You and I need to be rescued from your sin. You need to be rescued from your sin. You do not need to be rescued from other things, from political oppression, from a lack of money or a work opportunity, not from health issues, not from war or strife. Of course, all of those things are painful, difficult things that we face. But you need to be rescued from sin, ultimately. Rescued from the ultimate reality of coming death. You must be saved from the bad things that you have done, from the consequences of sin, from judgment, and ultimately from hell itself. Perhaps you come today, it's Christmas, I'm not that bad, I got presents, I'm not on the naughty list. But to enter into God's presence, you need to be perfect. You need to be perfect. But as I've said, there is the perfect one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came as the Saviour. The Gospel of John, we find he is called the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The myrrh given at Jesus' birth points all the way to Jesus' death, where we see the perfect sacrifice he would offer for sin. We see the cross is where this myrrh given here finds its purpose. We see on the cross the king crowned with thorns, the priest offering himself as the sacrifice, the Saviour crying out the glorious words, "It is finished." So, what does this mean for you? If Jesus is your Saviour, your greatest need in all the world has been met. Not your desire for presence, but your need for eternal life. Your need to be saved from sin, your need to be saved from death. Christmas is not just a celebration of Jesus' birthday. Christmas is pointing forward to something greater. Christmas is the D-Day in the battle for your soul. It's where the rescue mission of Jesus' life, planned before the beginning of time, began in a manger at Bethlehem, and that was going to be finished on a cross outside Jerusalem. We find in Christmas the reason that Jesus was born. Jesus was not born to make you rich and healthy, or to give you all the things that you think you need, not to affirm your life choices, or to be a lucky charm for your ambitions and dreams. He was not born to be a moral example that you can just ignore or write off. He was not born to endorse your political, national, or personal agenda, and he was not born to make you religious without changing your heart. Jesus was born to be Lord of the entire universe, to bring life that death cannot destroy, to seek and save those who are lost, those who are broken, and those who are outcast, which is all of us if we are outside of Christ. He was born to make all who believe in him holy and righteous, to reconcile you to God and to make you his beloved children, to establish a kingdom that will never end, and to give his life as a perfect sacrifice for the sin of those who believe in him. He was born to save his people from their sins. The beauty of Christmas is this: not a child in a manger, but a saviour on the cross, a king on the throne. Today, Jesus offers you many things. He offers you a treasure better than gold, a treasure of redemption from your sin. He offers you a sweeter fragrance than frankincense. He offers you reconciliation to God. He offers you a greater power than myrrh's preserving power. He offers you resurrection life, from being dead in your sin to being alive in Christ through faith. These wise men saw the star, they rejoiced and they worshipped. This is the pattern of true faith. Not a vague feeling, but worship, a clear action. This Christmas then, what is your response? What does this mean? Well, you must ask, are you seeking him? Or are you tied up in the tinsel and the busyness? Do you rejoice in who Jesus is? Is Jesus your reason for the joy in your heart this morning? Or is he just a background character behind all of the presents and the family fun? Do you worship Jesus? Do you bow before the King, the priest, and the Saviour of your soul? Or is he just someone who's there? Why does Christmas matter? Because in Jesus, God has given you everything. He has given you a king to rule over you, a priest to reconcile you to God, and a saviour to rescue you from sin. The invitation this Christmas for you is the wise men's example. Come and worship. Not a baby in a myth, but the Christ of history. Not a distant figure, but a present Lord. Not some far-off God, but a personal saviour. We rebelled against our king. He came as priest to reconcile us, and he died as saviour to rescue us. Amen.